Hello and welcome to another episode of Journey to a Dream, which is brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance and supported by the Andreas Racing Association here on the Isle of Man. So we've been talking a lot recently about Manx Grand Prix because it's really not very far away now, and we've been talking to some newcomers. But today we're going to hear from somebody who actually made his debut in 2019. There was obviously then a little bit of a hiatus with the COVID years, but it's really interesting to find out what his thoughts are and his advice as well for anyone just starting out this year.
My name is Victor Ortega from Valencia, from Spain. Racing in the Isle of Man was my dream since I'm more or less a teenager. This year will be my fifth time there, living the dream. And yeah, let's go for it. It comes from my parents used to have lunch seeing the 500 class, which is MotoGP actually. So I grew up in the 90s with my father loving bikes and cars and, you know, motorsport. And I just became what I wanted since I was a child. I'm a motorcycle mechanic, which is what I love, and also it makes my life easier because I can prepare my own bikes here in Spain and, you know, all that kind of things in relationship with riding a bike, and you know what it needs to be done and you are ready, bike is ready. So yeah, all my life is just going around bikes and racing, and yeah, it's lovely.
And Victor, when do you first remember hearing about the Isle of Man?
Well, we had in Spain a TV program which was all about extreme sports like parachuting and all that. It's not a good thing, but I saw an accident. It was down Bray Hill. I don't remember the name of the rider, but it was a big, big tank slapper, and he crashed at the bottom of Bray Hill. So that was the first image I had from the Isle of Man. And I was thinking about, well, it was a racing bike, but on a road. So I didn't really know what's going on. So I started my research about what was that place, but it was mid-90s or so, so not really easy like now to get Google and look for what you want and you get the information. So yeah, that was my first contact with the Isle of Man. So then by the time you discover it, you see videos, you start like going into the thing. And to be fair, I wanted to be a tourist seeing the TT or just being in the Isle of Man for a few days. But then my first time on the island was with Kev, with my actual team, as a mechanic with Nuno Caetano driving on 2014. So yeah, I started in the Isle of Man as a mechanic. And that was the time when I realized, oh, well, I want to do this.
So Victor, when did you first start racing properly and thinking this was something that you were going to take seriously?
Well, I started so late. I mean, nowadays the racers start like 6, 7, 8 years old. But I started at 18. That was 2008. With my first money earned working, I made the amount of money necessary to start racing. So we started racing on 80cc bikes, on Valencian area championships. That was mega. Was a good training because the racing is so intense with a lot of bikes. We also had a championship through the streets of villages, so it made a good school. And then I was improving, I wanted to go on bigger bikes, and also that was the moment when I met Kev and I asked him, I want to race on the Isle of Man, so how can I do it? And he said, you should be racing on bigger bikes and having that experience before you can come here to the Isle of Man. So my racing career started very humble, and then we moved to a Spanish championship on 2018 or so on the classic side. And it's not the classic side because I love classic stuff, but obviously it's also the more economical part of racing. So you can buy a cheap bike, make it yourself on the garage, and then go on racing.
And you have raced over in the UK as well, but it must be such a thing trying to get over for races like that. I mean, you talk a little bit about the cost of it, Victor, but it's a really expensive sport to be part of.
Yes, yes, it is. Everybody knows it before you start doing it. Each step, each time you do it more and more professional, it becomes so expensive. And also for normal people like me, like a lot of other riders, we are professional riders as the way we ride, but we are not professional like making money about that. So we have our lives making money, working on workshops or plumbers or electricians or whatever, and then spending each euro, each pound we can earn on racing side, not forgetting obviously to keep the family, you know, on the positive side. So you have to spend the money, but you cannot forget the family and all the necessary things we have.
How does your family feel about the racing, Victor?
I met my wife on a motorbike meeting. You know, they panic and they worry about what I do, but also they know how happy it makes me. And they know it's not just a simple hobby. It's something which fills my soul 24 hours a day. It's our way of life. And to be fair, it's so complicated. So, yeah, I have full commitment from my parents, from my wife. They obviously are worried about, but they love letting me doing what I love the most.
That was a great way of describing it, because I think for anybody involved in this sport, it does take over absolutely everything. And you do need that support from your family. Did you say you've got children?
Yeah, I have a little daughter, 5 years old.
Is she showing any signs of being interested in bikes yet?
Not really. And my point of view as a father is I never bought her a bike or she knows it's what I love, but that's my life, isn't it? That's something I have grew up with, and I don't really want to push anybody to do what I love. That's my thing. My daughter will be what she really loves to be. If she sometime asks me for a bike for doing track days together, I will be happy. But if she's into football or whatever sports she wants to be, I will be happy. It's her life. I'm not pushing her on that side, to be fair.
Oh, that's lovely. And that sounds like the way that your parents reacted with you as well. So it's great to sort of pass that on down. Just tell us then, when you decided that it was time to put in your first MGP application.
Well, I tried that on 2016, I think. But the organization, because by the time you put your entry in, then if it's first time, they ask you for your CV, like where have you been or what have you done before? And my CV was so small, I was racing just small bikes and a bit of 600, but not enough. So the organization told me you are not in on a lack of experience, which I understood absolutely, because they just try to make it safe for us. So I said, okay, thank you for your time. And I just keep working and keep improving on my CV, and then I get it back on 2018 to 2019 Manx, and I was accepted, and then my CV was bigger and more experienced, so I got it. So that was my first time.
And you know, that's again just a real message to anyone who perhaps has put in an application and maybe they weren't successful the first time, just to keep going and take that feedback, I guess, that you're given.
Yes, my way of life is giving it 100%. So if something is not happening, finally, at least you know it's not your fault or your thing. And you cannot control all the things. So you must work hard, put the effort. And then if, for example, like it was to me on 2016 or so, if the organization say to you, you are not able, they are not telling you don't know how to ride a bike. It's just they are trying to protect riders and then making sure they have enough experience to get the mountain course as safe as it is. It's not a bad thing. I got it, like, not on a step back, but as okay, Victor, you have to improve if you want to do this.
And so then 2019 came, your application was accepted. How did you go with all the newcomers events and sort of preparing that way? Were you able to get over here quite a lot?
I enjoyed any minute of that situation. From when I got the email saying, yes, you are in, and then the fantastic newcomers weekend, and then you get all the atmosphere with all the riders getting the same excitement, going around, doing laps on the cars with the instructors. That was mega. And to be fair, it's something in my memories which will be with me all my life, you know, because people like Tony Duncan, proper ex-riders, professional riders, giving you all the information they have. Just trying to get yourself safe, because that was the main thing between Short Circuit and the Isle of Man. In the Isle of Man, the advice is not in Short Circuit. You say, oh, here is fifth full, or you wait until breaking park or whatever. And the Isle of Man is more trying to protect yourself. So be careful here. if it's been raining for a few days, this will be damp. So it's trying to get your head into safety, and then you can get into speed. So it's magical.
And something I suppose you did have to get used to was the weather over here. Just mentioning the rain, it has been known to rain occasionally. How did you find that? Must have been a little bit of a shock to the system compared to what you were used to, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. First time on 2019, I got really upset anytime with the delays. And then because you go through the emotions, scary, you don't want really to get out because you are scared. And then you prepare yourself, you focus, you get that point of, okay, I'm ready. And then delay 30 minutes, another 30 minutes. Then you start to panicking again. And then they finally canceled and you get back to the van, not exactly the way you wanted to. So first year was really difficult to accept that situation. But then again, you realize people is trying to make riders safe, because if nobody stops us, we can go at any conditions because we want to do it. So somebody has to be saying, no, that's not safe enough. So you get home and just wait for tomorrow. But as a newcomer, it was difficult to accept. Then this will be my fifth time there, and you know how the island is. If it wants to play, we can play, and if not, it's for a good reason. So just put the bikes in the van, and yeah, another day.
And that's a great attitude to adopt, Victor. And again, it's another part of it, isn't it? This is so much more than just a physical race. The mental side of it and just how you feel is so crucial.
Absolutely. It's another message. If some newcomer is listening to this interview, because I know the other newcomers with me that year felt more or less the same. But as I said, it's safety reasons. They are trying to keep ourselves safe and enjoying the event, not going out on conditions which are not really on the racing side. It's not short circuit, which can be handled more or less with any climatological conditions. And sometimes you are sunny and perfect conditions on the grid, but then you have some places around the island with some showers or the clouds low or whatever. So it's so tricky. It's another tricky thing from the Isle of Man. Lovely.
So 2019 came and went then. You obviously enjoyed it enough to come back, but you had to deal in the middle of all that with the COVID years, Victor. And that must have been so tough.
Yes.
Because, you know, there was very little happening everywhere. You'd had your first taste of the mountain course. How did you get through that time?
Well, that was another thing you cannot really control, Inti. That was all the world, just chaos. And that was people first, like, okay, we need to do this. People has to be at home trying to take care of themselves. And then from the sports side, it's true that being a newcomer in 2019 and then coming back 2 years later to the track, that was like another newcomer time for my brain, which made a bit difficult getting into the speed, because if you are getting year after year, then you can go into the speed and the experience, so your brain is more fresh. But with this 2 year stop, was more difficult to come back on 2022. But again, conditions we cannot control. It's not the brain forgetting the information, but obviously 2 years after is things like even the pavement or tarmac, something changed, or, you know, the landscape with trees different. And the brain, even if you don't want to, it gets cooled down, and, you know, you need going year after year to make the more experience and getting the brain into it. So that 2 year stop was a bit tough, but it was the same for everybody. So another thing to accept, isn't it?
And so you did 2022, 23 and 24, and we're going to see you back here for 2025. In terms of like how many people who do similar things from around where you're from in Spain, are there any other names that come over here?
Well, we are just two Spanish racers at the moment. We were three, but we lost Raul Torres, who was racing the TT. So actually, we are both riders. I'm not really sure why, but TT is arriving to Spain. There are lots of people interested in it, but I can't see racers doing Manx or TT. Not really sure why, because as I said, a lot of people from Spain follow the TT and the Manx Grand Prix, but by the driver's side, it's not so popular, maybe.
I mean, your English is phenomenal, so that must be really helpful. have you spoken English since you were a child?
Well, my parents put me onto English classes, 7 years, 8 years old. But what affects the most to my English was watching TT videos and all the rider commentary and all that. So I was making my own language. So, and I enjoy, I love English culture. I was making my workshop practice. I'm not sure how was the name in English. When you finish your degree,
yeah,
then you go and make your experience for a company. So I was at London trying to connect myself to the Isle of Man, but I didn't know because it was difficult to me that time. That was a long time ago. So my English is a bit invented by me and a bit coming from classes from when I was younger.
I love that. I love that. That is such a great way to learn a language. You know, if there are any sort of maybe Spanish motorcycle videos that we can watch, maybe we can get as remotely good at Spanish as you are at English. But what are you going to be riding this year?
I will be riding again I say mine, but it's not mine. It's from KS Performance, which is my main sponsor. And more than that, it's a big friend. I treat him as a father. So I will be riding his ZX 6R on the senior and super sport classes. And then BFR 400 from Mick, who is a neighbor from the Isle of Man. He uses to run that bike. So he's really pleased to let me on it for the ultralightweight class on the Classic TT. So yeah, that will be a busy year.
Oh, and you just mentioned a couple of your sponsors there. And we talk so much, Victor, about how crucial it is to have these people supporting you, putting a bike underneath you, but also giving you the financial support and, you know, the mechanical side of things as well, because you need a team too.
Yeah, exactly. It's so difficult. I'm very lucky, very, very lucky, because some riders find sponsorship from people who expect victories or podiums or really good results. And I'm very lucky because as a rider, people around me supporting me, they are not really expecting anything else than me enjoying the experience and coming back with a big smile. So that put less pressure on rider head. So you have just your pressure as much as you want to improve yourself. But a lot of riders has that problem. They need money. All of us need money to do this. And then a few sponsors want the result, and it's not really a good way when a rider has that pressure on him to do proper things. Even more on the Isle of Man, you cannot really push on our level. Yes, the top guys can, but normal people is just trying to get step by step, improving yourself. All the riders want to improve themselves, but that extra pressure coming from a sponsor is not good for my point of view. So yeah, I'm very pleased. I found help from UK. As I said, KS Performance, Kev Spoor is my main man. Then people like Imageworks doing the vinyl and all the stickers. Burwell Auto Center, Martin Family from the Isle of Man letting me sleep on their home. Ian and Phyllis letting the garage from their home. Mike letting his BFR Inti for me to race it. So I have more lot of love and support from UK side, so that makes me so happy. So yeah, just continue with the dream and enjoying it and trying to be happy racing bikes, isn't it?
And what is the ultimate aim though? Because most people do have something in their head that they really want to achieve. Would you be able to share that with us?
Well, to be fair, this is my fifth time at the Isle of Man. My main project for this year is build the speed. I'm now around that 110 miles per hour lap. I want to push in a few places I know I can, and then trying to build that speed, letting it come to me if it has to be, and arriving to the TT speed for qualifying, which should be someplace around 113, 114. I'm not under pressure because I want to enjoy it. But as a sportsman, I'm always trying to push a bit myself. So that's more or less the main thing to achieve the qualifying time for TT and trying to get into a TT next year. But we'll see. As I said, no pressure, just enjoy. And if it has to come, it will come.
And you've already sort of given your thoughts for any newcomer who might be listening to this, Victor. But is there anything that you think you wish you had been told before you set out for your first time?
Not really. Because as a newcomer, all the organization was mega. So to the newcomers listening to this, just let Manx Rugby people helping yourselves, listening to any advices from experienced riders, and as a newcomer, not trying to impress anybody. We are here for getting a good time, as many times as we can. So it's time enough to improve without any rush. So first year, just enjoy the experience, meet the people, listen to advices, and don't do stupid things.
And with much less than a month to go before MGP, how is this going to look for you? What sort of things are you going to be doing over the next couple of weeks?
Well, I'm just training as much as I can. I'm also a track day instructor with Speed Racer, which is a Spanish company. So I used to be track day instructor on one session, and then I used the other session for training. And spending with my girls all the time, I will not be spending on August because they've been 5 years now without August holidays. So trying to give them all the time and love I can and I have. And yeah, making myself ready.
And where can people keep up to date? Are you quite good on social media with posting updates?
Well, if you just put Victor Ortega in the Instagram or Facebook pages, I will appear. On Instagram, I'm called Ortega Mecanica, which is a place to follow myself. I will be doing each day during these months and a little video like making the resume about the day so they can follow all the new things, even if we are racing or not, by the weather or whatever. I will be telling how is it going, like a diary, but on social media.
Oh, brilliant. Well, we'll put the links to that on the podcast page. Would you teach us something useful in Spanish that we might need to say during Manx Grand Prix?
I used to say a fondo, siempre con todo, which is flat out everything, every time with everything.
Okay, what is it again?
It's a fondo siempre con todo.
A fondo siempre
con todo.
Con todo. I'll practice
That's
that.
It, make
I'll
up.
Practice that before I see you. Victor, it's been brilliant talking to you. Wish you all the very best for the run-up to MGP, and we look forward to seeing you over here.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you for your time. My language is not so fluid, but I think it can be interesting to listen to it. Thank you for your time. Thank you for everything. And see you in less than a month.
How brilliant to talk to Victor, who has the best accent, doesn't he? I'm still practicing that Spanish phrase in the hope that if I do see him over MGP this year, I'll just be able to say it and sound fluent. All the links, as ever, to Victor's social media will be on the podcast page, so do give him a follow. And definitely go up and see him if you're around the paddock, because he would be very, very welcoming. I'm absolutely sure of it. Thank you so much for listening to Journey to a Dream. It's brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance. You can find out more about how you can get covered by them by visiting their website, Kawasaki-insurance.co.uk. I also mentioned the Andreas Racing Association as well. I'll put the link to their page on the podcast page. Remember, Gerby Day coming up on Sunday, the 24th of August, all being well, because the weather for MGP is going to be brilliant. So much happening there, and you'll be able to find out much more on the Andreas Racing Association website. If you'd like to get in touch with me, bethsb@manxradio.com is the best email address. And until next time, take care. Bye-bye.